May we be helped to commence the worship of God this evening by singing hymn 232 to the tune Willingdon 815. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Hymn 232, tune 815. From the Holy Word of God, we will read in the book of Genesis, chapter 40. The book of Genesis, chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler, and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler under his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. May the Lord bless that portion of his own word and help us now in prayer. Let us pray. The Lord, again, it is the evening of another day, and the day is far spent. But we desire now to draw nigh unto thee in prayer, to call upon thy great and holy name, knowing that thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. O Lord, teach us then our need of thee, and help us to make our petitions and our requests known unto God. We read in thy book of those that made petitions unto the kings of Egypt and of Babylon, but we come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he that cometh unto thee, thou dost not cast down. So hear us, O Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place. Hear our desires this night, as we come before thee in this act of prayer. We meet together in unusual circumstances, and because of the plague that is found in the land. And, O Lord, we desire yet to worship thee the same, as though we were in thy house. And may this room be made a sanctuary unto us, and to any that might hear the word of God this night. O, we pray thy blessing then, to rest upon our gathering in thy name, that we gather not together in vain. Lord, it is because of the sin of mankind that this virus has been let loose, and how many, O Lord, have perished off the face of the earth without warning and without thought, and many doubtless to eternal damnation. But thou dost cause the righteous to hold on his way. And, O, may we know that it is in thy eternal purposes to humble man. But we know for the majority, man will not be humbled, but he will rise up in rebellion against God. But, O, may thy people fall before thee in humble acknowledgement that thou art that sovereign God who is able to do all things according to the purpose of thine own will. Thou art he that giveth life, and thou art also he that taketh it away. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we thank thee, O Lord, that we can come together around the word of God, and pray that it may be made profitable in our hearing tonight. Thou knowest our need. O Lord, do come, pour in that one may pour out, and prepare the hearts of those that hear, that they may be softened in desire toward thee, that they may hear something to the profit of their never-dying souls. O, do cause thy goodness to pass before us in the way. Do grant thy presence, and although we meet not in the walls of the chapel, yet thy promise is not determined thus, but rather wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And may there be those among us who shall say, Sir, we would see Jesus, who has said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Or may we know the Spirit's activity in our hearts and minds this night, to bring us to the footstool of mercy, to the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to do great things for us, abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And thy power is not limited, and thy glory shall be forever made known. Oh, do undertake for us then, and help us to draw near by faith, believing that thou art he, and thou art the rewarder of all those that diligently seek thee. If with all your heart ye truly seek me, ye shall ever surely find me, thus saith the Lord. So we pray, O Lord, thy blessing here this night, and that we may be favoured to have a portion for our never-dying souls, that we may be built up in our most holy faith, that we may be strengthened with all might in the inner man by thy Spirit, and that thy word may have free course and be glorified. O Lord, it is a privilege ever to gather around thy word, to have the scriptures opened to us. Lord, may all the praise and honour and glory be ascribed unto thee. Do help us in the singing of the hymns, in the reading of thy word, in our prayers and meditations, our praise and our thanksgiving, that all things may be done decently and in order. And thou knowest, O Lord, the secret of each of our hearts. Thou knowest all that we desire. And oh, we long for spiritual blessings. Grant us a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy heavenly love. Show us that we are born of God and that our treasure is above. Leave us not, O Lord, to come and go without receiving a portion that will do us good. Our Lord, it is a solemn thing if we should meet together in vain. We know that thy word is a savour of life unto life, or of death unto death. We know that thou hast a covenant people, whom thou hast ordained from everlasting. Lord, but nevertheless, may we each prove that we are in the bundle of thy love, that we are chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began, and that there is an appointed time when thou dost call us forth out of nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light. So, Lord, may there be that release this night. May there be those wrought upon by thy Spirit, those who shall cry out, what must I do to be saved? And thou knowest, O Lord, the needs of each one in that respect, that thy blessing may rest upon them, to be made willing in the day of thy power, to forsake all that they might follow thee. Looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of their faith, for he who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, who liveth forever and ever, blessed be his name. And all may we know that we live in him, and that we have life more abundantly. Because I live, ye shall live also. O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast given us thy word, and may it be a declaration of that which has been past, of that which is now present, and of that which is yet to come. And that we may trust in thee at all times, leaning not to our own understanding, but that we may know that all thy purposes are being fulfilled. Whatever man might say, whatever he might do, yet thou art upon the throne, and thou doest all things according to thine own purposes. O, do grant us humble submission to thy will, whatever thy will may be for us, both now and in the future. May we be ready to meet God. May we be made real Christians, washed in the dear Redeemer's blood. May we know union to the Church's living head. May Christ be everything to us, the first and the last and the all and in all. May he be that one thing needful. Oh, do draw us, and we will run after thee. Help us to live according to thy doctrine, that thy doctrine may not fall helpless to the ground. But, O Lord, that we may be those among men upon the face of this earth who are obedient to thy every command. Our Lord, we live in a rebellious day and generation, a world that is hostile to true religion, and which waxes worse and worse. We have seen things and heard things in this our day and generation, which our forefathers could never ever have imagined, and that we even ourselves would not have thought would come to pass. And yet these things are with us, and the effects are grievous to us. Oh, we mourn over the fallen nature of mankind, that, Lord, that we may persevere, that we may endure to the end, that we might be saved. We pray that thou remember thy people in their various afflictions, sicknesses, and sorrows, and grant patience and endurance in these things, that they may know all must come and last and end, as shall please their heavenly friend. We pray, O Lord, for our churches, that thou remember them in this latter day, and, oh, that there may be those added unto the church, such as shall be saved, those who shall be made willing in the day of thy power, to gather with the people of God, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but rather would follow thee even unto death itself, than be separated from their God. O Lord, do bless thine own sent servants. Remember the ministry of thy word. Raise up faithful ministers. Thou knowest the need here in Australia, among the churches. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bless them and keep them, uphold them and help them. May their desire be to sit under a regular ministry, a ministry that will feed their souls and encourage them in the things of God. So we bring these things before thee, and we recognize, O Lord, we come short in every way. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt make up in giving where we so utterly fail in asking, and pardon all that we ask amiss and our every sin. Oh, do wash us in the dear Redeemer's blood. Oh, do grant us holiness of life and heaven to come. We ask these things in that worthy, precious, all-prevailing name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen. May we be helped to continue now by singing hymn 282 to the tune Ephraim 463. 'Tis my happiness below, not to live without the cross, but the Saviour's power to know, sanctifying every loss. Trials must and will befall, but with humble faith to see love inscribed upon them all. This is happiness to me. Hymn 282, tune 463. In all felt dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 105 and verse 19. Psalm 105, verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of God tried him. Until the time that his word came, the word of God tried him. Many of God's children live with doubts and fears. How do we know if we have a real religion? For doubtless, there is much false religion in the world, and Satan is active to try and show us that we are out of the secret, that we are not the children of God. I believe the answer to this is trial. The trials of God are given us for a purpose, to bring us nearer to him and to hold fast to our most precious faith. We have before us the case of Joseph. Joseph was a child of God. He was brought up in a family which was singled out by God. Abraham called out of the Ur of the Chaldees to come to a country which would be his inheritance, which he would stand upon, and yet he would never know that inheritance for himself, but receive the promise which was from God. Isaac, likewise, the promise was confirmed in him. And Jacob also came to be a believer in the true and living God. So Joseph knew something of God's works and ways from his youth up. But God appeared unto him in a particular way, and he gave him a promise, as I trust we will see, that Joseph was to hold fast and to retain throughout all his days. And that promise was to settle him upon the word of God. We read in our text, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now the Lord first appeared in a dream or a vision unto Joseph, and showed him a field, a harvest, and his sheaf to be upright, and the other sheaves bowing unto his sheaf. And then secondly, he saw the sun and moon and the 11 stars bowing unto him. These things, I believe, that his father Jacob and his brethren understood, and yet they could not comprehend the reason for it. And this brought jealousy unto his brethren. But to Joseph, it was the word of God. The Lord appears in different ways to different people. One may receive a vision, one may be blessed under the singing of a hymn. One may be blessed under the preaching of the gospel. One may be blessed under the reading of the word of God. But in every case, it is the word of God, and it is the word of God to them. But this word must and will be tried. It is in God's eternal purposes to establish us in the truth of his holy word. And so it was with Joseph that before the promise was brought forth into all its fullness, Joseph must walk an obscure and difficult and trying pathway. Yet nevertheless, the Lord's promises can never ever fail. And it is encouraging for us that whatever things may come into our lives, to remember that if the Lord has given a word, or if we have come to believe and to trust in the word of God, that word can never fail. And the Lord maintains his people and enables them to pass through these crooked, as it were, dispensations. Joseph then set out to greet his brethren. No doubt he considered that these should be his protectors and helpers to bring forth God's promise to him. And yet, just the opposite seemed to take place. And here we have the beginning of Joseph's trials, that his brethren took him and cast him into a pit, and then for a very small sum of money sold him to the Midianites, who took him down into Egypt. How must Joseph have felt when God's promise seemed to direct him in one way and providence seemed to direct him in the very opposite way? What thoughts would have gone through his mind as to whether this promise would ever be effective, whether it would ever come to pass? Yet I believe nevertheless Joseph held on to the promise. We're not given any indication anywhere in the life of Joseph to remotely suggest that he ever wavered from this promise. And then he comes into Potiphar's house and is raised up to a position within that house. And then he is tried by Potiphar's wife, seeking things which were impossible to him. How could he stand in such a case, having been brought up to know and understand the truth and to have had the promise of God to him, and yet these things seem contrary to him? But even more so when he was cast into prison. Joseph knew that he was innocent. God knew that he was innocent. And yet this had come upon him to try his faith, to bring him to question these things. Why has this come upon me? And how often we find ourselves in a similar situation. I don't know how it is with you, but I have had numerous trials in my life, things that seemed so contrary to what I believed would come to pass. And one sadly does reason, why is it thus? Why is it so with me? Why have these things singled me out as though I was the mark for the very arrow? And yet, nevertheless, God's purposes are being fulfilled in our lives and, as they were, in the life of Joseph. There in the prison, what was the prospect of these promises coming to pass? Everything, whatever way he may look, everything seemed to suggest everything contrary to what he had hoped for and what he had expected. And there he languished, with only the walls, as it were, of the prison to hear his complaint, to hear his cries, to hear his mourning, and to understand the loneliness, the solitude that he must have felt at that time. Was there any future? Was there any prospect for him? And then, as we have read together in the 40th of Genesis, the two of Pharaoh's servants are incarcerated with him, and he is given the task of serving them. And they have a dream, each one in a single night. And the butler of the king of Egypt opens up his dream to Jacob, and Jacob is able to interpret his dream. Do not interpretations belong unto God? And here we see the character of one who believes in God, who holds fast to things which seem, naturally speaking, so contrary to his expectation. And he tells the butler that within 3 days he shall be lifted up again to his butlership. But then the baker, having heard a good interpretation, also interprets his dream unto Joseph. And Joseph gives the interpretation, but it's not the interpretation that the man doubtless wanted to hear, for he tells him that within 3 days his head will be taken from him, and the birds of the air would make a feast upon him. And on the third day, the day of Pharaoh's birthday, these things come to pass exactly as Joseph had predicted. And Joseph had said to the butler not to forget him in all this, but to recommend him unto Pharaoh. But the butler did not. And so again, we have, as the old Puritans used to say, a death upon the promise. Everything seemed the opposite to what Joseph had expected. But nevertheless, the Lord's purposes were being fulfilled, and all must come to pass according to God's direction. And so the Christian has to learn to trust in the Lord. Now, we experience many things in the providences of life. We have troubles, whether they be in our home, among our own loved ones, whether they be in business, dealing with others, or things going opposite to our purposes in our businesses, whether it be in the church, and probably some of the most difficult problems are in the church when there is a contrary spirit, but wherever it may be, these things come upon us. They are trying circumstances. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Those things which affect our flesh are most difficult to bear. If ever you've been, as I have, laying upon a hospital bed waiting for surgery and feeling that this could be the end of our life, not knowing what the outcome might be, how difficult it is to remain composed and confident, to believe in God, that whether in life or death, his purposes work for our eternal security, for our eternal good. And so providential trials can be exceedingly difficult, and especially if we think of someone like Job. When one trial had come, another trial was on its way. And the poor man, within a very short time, was bereft of his substance, of his family, and of his health. All these things, Jacob once said, are against me. And yet, we have to prove God's purposes in the fullness thereof. We have to have patience and endurance. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. A hope which makes us not ashamed. But I want to move on to a different type of trial, and that is spiritual trials. Because in reality, these trials of Joseph were spiritual trials. The word of God was given unto him. And we know that the word of God can never fail. But all must come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and forever. Amen. And we need to bear that in mind throughout the course of our lives. Once a person has been converted, once they put on Christ Jesus the Lord, it is a time for the devil to try their faith. And even before they're converted, when there is a hope and a desire in their hearts, a seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil puts many stumbling blocks in the way to try and prove that the person is wholly unworthy. And of course they are. But their worthiness is not to be found in themselves, and they have to learn that their worthiness is of God. It is of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for sinners, who gave his life a ransom for the souls of his people. These are things that we learn by experience as we enter into them, and how the Lord sustains us and maintains us through these things. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. How trying then was it for Joseph trusting in God, of believing that all things should redound to his honour and to his glory. In all things, our religion needs to stand in an ungodly world. Think with Joseph that his brethren said unto him, we will see, as it were, what will become of his dreams. In other words, teasing him that this was just a figment of his imagination. This was just a dream of his own, and that this was not from the Lord. And you know, some of us perhaps here, I speak for myself, if not for others, have had these trials as to our beginnings in the things of God. Or was the word of God real to us, or did we imagine it? Was it from God, or was it from another source? And how the devil loves to put different scenes before us as to the possibilities that these might have been other than from the Lord himself. Spiritual trials, then, are much deeper, are much more complex, are much more vital than providential trials. We wouldn't make little of providential trials, but those who are exercised in the things of God, who are followers of Christ, will know that these things are far more trying in their experience than natural things. Because if we are wrong at the beginning, we are wrong all the way through, and we will be wrong at the end. And so everything, as it were, hinges upon a right beginning, a right foundation. The church is one foundation, as Jesus Christ, her Lord. And if we are not upon that foundation, we will perish. We read at the end of 7th of Matthew, the Lord's great sermon on the mount, of the two that built their houses, one upon the rock and one upon the sand. And here is an interpretation, if you like, of these thoughts, that one was true and one wasn't. One would stand and one would fall. If our religion is right, it will stand every test and prove at last, prove to be of the Lord. Because we cannot give ourselves religion. We cannot take it unto ourselves. The day in which we live, so many are comfortable in giving themselves to Christ, in closing with Christ, or whatever the current expression might be, that they have done the work. They have made the move. They have gone, as it were, in the right direction. But how sad and solemn it is that a religion of the flesh will never overcome at last. It will perish in the using. And we know that there are so many that seem to begin well. They become baptized. They become something in the church. Even some of them become ministers and pastors, but it doesn't stand. It comes to nothing. And oh, how trying this is to a true believer. Am I one of those And Satan will readily suggest, yes, you're one that's given yourself religion, and how can you expect God to honour it? You see, our religion is not of self. It is of God. And it is a great blessing when the Word of God comes to us and we're enabled through grace to receive it as the promise of God unto us. There came a time, of course, when Joseph's brethren knew the outcome of his dreams. There came a time when they would bow before him as their Lord. But throughout Joseph's life, when he is sold, when he is bound, as it were, to the caravan that led the Midianites through to Egypt, there the promise was tested. It was tried. He's going in an opposite direction. He cannot understand the purposes of God in this. And are there not many things in our lives that we cannot understand why we have to do certain things, why we have to go in certain directions, and it seems so contrary to what we expected. When we put on an open profession of Christ, we expect the way to be pleasant. We expect, although trials come upon us, yet we have the strength and the faith to overcome all these trials, and the path is easy and the path is light, and we shall soon gain our end in heaven. But oh, how quickly we have to learn that the path isn't easy. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Gold, tried, what perishes? The dross. And is not this the purpose of God in our lives? To remove the dross? To sanctify every trial to us? And you know, if we pass through a trial and it's had no effect upon us, what was the purpose of the trial? It all comes to nothing. No, in our trials, God has a purpose. And although perhaps we do not understand the purposes of God in it, we cannot see, as it were, the end of the tunnel, yet nevertheless, we come to a point, and Joseph must have come to this point again and again, that he must trust God. Although we don't know what God's purposes are, although it seems contrary to nature, contrary to what we thought would come to pass, yet we have to trust the Lord that he knows best, that his ways are right. His ways are past finding out, that we cannot look to ourselves for any interpretation. Interpretation, as I said before, belongs unto God. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Again, in Potiphar's house, how he began to settle in, he must have learnt the language, he must have prospered for Potiphar to give him power or ability to run the house. He must have had confidence in Joseph, and things seemed to be going well for him. And then Potiphar's wife seeks to overthrow all that has come to pass. And how can Joseph stand in such a situation as this? Well, listen to what Joseph says. How can I do this great evil and sin against God? Here he has God in view. God came first. Whatever his fleshly desires might have been, that we know not, but in all things, the honour and the glory will be given unto his God. And so in our trials and testings, where do we look? To whom do we turn? And whose honour is most uppermost in our minds and upon our spirits? Is it not the honour of the Lord Jesus Christ to do his will, to walk in his ways, and whatever it may cost us, whatever effect it may have upon us, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. What a wonderful example we have in the life of Joseph. We read nothing of sin in his life. He would seem, in one sense, to be a perfect man, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you follow the life of Joseph and relate it to the New Testament scriptures, there are many, many things whereby Joseph can be seen as that type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course we know that Joseph was not a perfect man. He was no different in one sense to us. He was flesh and blood. But see what the Spirit of God had done for him. How the Lord gave him that strength and that courage to stand against all opposition. And there must have been times that seemed so confusing to him as to the purposes of God. And yet he still holds on to this promise, the promise that he had in those two dreams, that the Lord would raise him up to a position of eminence and power. And yet these things had not so far come to pass. What is that in the life of the believer? The Lord's promise to his people is what? Everlasting life, of the glory of heaven to come, to be with Christ forever and ever. These are the promises which are given us in the word of God. And these promises relate to every true-born child of God. These promises, if we are Christ's, are ours. And yet, there seems the opposition to the promise, spiritually speaking. As I mentioned earlier, we have many doubts and fears. And who is that man who can stand up and say that I have such a strong faith that I never doubt? I'm always trusting in God's word. Well, one would question that person's religion as to whether it is real or false. So our trials come upon us. And there in the prison, day after day, week after week, here is Joseph on his own, in a strange country, a foreign country, with no one to befriend him, no one to encourage him, no one to strengthen him, no minister or prophet of God to bring the word of God to him. But Joseph believes in God. And here is the excellency of his faith. He trusts in the living God. And this is what the child of God must be brought to when the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit has come upon him to bring him to that place where he will not lean upon an arm of flesh, but trust in the true and living God. There are many Josephs in the world today, even yet. Those Josephs that are tried as to their spiritual experiences and the oppositions that they meet with, not only in the world, but also in the church. Joseph, as I say, was alone. And sometimes we recognize that we are alone. It is between us and our God. No man can intervene. No man can understand that relationship. Only the person who has a relationship with God will understand the meaning and the strength of that relationship. And it is a mercy that the relationship doesn't depend upon us. Although we desire to be faithful and true to God, yet it is He that upholds us. He that puts His strength within us. He that enables us to still hold fast, yet everything seems to be so contrary to us. The wind seems to blow against us, and the battle is hard. The warfare is bitter, and it seems as though it goes on a long, long time. Will these trials ever end? Will they come to a fulfillment? Will we ever see the light of day? But here the Christian, being tried, comes to understand the difference between death and light, between darkness and light, between truth and error. And we are confirmed through these trials in our most holy faith. And at the end of the trial, if the trial has been fulfilled, we are stronger than we were at the beginning. That doesn't mean, and some of us perhaps have experienced this, that we've come through a deep and trying experience, and the Lord has maintained us, and we've been thankful, we've praised God for bringing us safely through, and we've seen the end of it working together for our good. But then another trial comes in a different way, of a different sort, and we are, as it were, thrown down again. We have no strength of our own to withstand the opposition that we meet with. Sometimes, as it were, we're taken off our guard. Sometimes we wonder where the blow has come from. And yet, nevertheless, it is the Lord. Let him do what he seemeth fit to him. And we have to learn in these things that all things are of God. Life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. He knoweth the way that we take. When he has tried us, we shall come forth as gold. But in the trial, in the depth of the trial, and I'm sure that last trial, as it were, of Joseph, when the butler forgot him and Joseph must have thought day after day that nothing is coming to pass. No help is afforded me. I am alone and I am nigh despair. Or if ever we should come into such depths as this, we will not speak against our brethren, whom perhaps at one time we did not understand. Now it's easy to criticize those that are in dark and deep places, as Job's friends criticized him, not understanding the depth of the trial that he had come into. And we find this in our day, as in every generation, that there are those who are in deep trial. They go mourning, as it were, all the day. And people will say, well, cheer up. You know, these things will have an end and you'll be happy then. But in the midst of the trial, we know that it is a hard pathway. We know that except the Lord helps us, we have no help. But then to believe, God is our hope and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if you look through the Word of God to see the trials of God's saints, and how they were able to withstand those trials, then it is encouraging for us that the trials we pass through, and one might say, well, the trials of the martyrs were much deeper trials than ours. The trials of Peter and others were much more severe than ours. But if we're passing through a deep trial, it is the deepest of all trials to us. It is something which is exceedingly real. And if we didn't feel perplexed and disheartened at times by these trials, it would mean that we have no faith. But it is for the strengthening of our faith that these things come upon us. When we can sometimes look back and see how the Lord has led us through these things, how we have come through the storm and into the sunshine of his glorious day. Now, it says in our text, until the time that his word came. And how important it is to realize the time. This, of course, is God's time. However long or short, or however deep or difficult our trials may be, they're all in God's hand. There is a set time for God to deliver his people. And that time will come. And this is where faith can hold fast. As I mentioned before, the trial of your faith. Faith needs to be in exercise. And it's mostly in exercise in the midst of trial. Will our faith hold out to the coming day? And here we see how the Lord upholds us and puts his strength within us, that although at times we may feel to be falling and falling into that dungeon of despair, yet nevertheless, underneath are the everlasting arms. Hope. The Christian has a hope. I hope I shall be saved at last. And trials sometimes seemingly go against that hope. Will that hope be realized? Everything seems in the opposite direction. Everything seems to be against hope, but we hope against hope, as the apostle did in his trials and difficulties. And every child of God will know something of this, having a hope in the true and living God, hoping that we will overcome at last, hoping we will reach the goal, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, hoping in Christ's almighty power to deliver us out of the storm and bring us into the light of eternal day. And then there is love. Love that is stronger than death. A love to the Lord Jesus Christ, which binds us to him. We love him with real love. He is the altogether lovely one. He is the object of our choice desire. We love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth. And that love will maintain our grip upon things when we're in the depths. That love to Christ, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That love will hold out. And I mentioned just now about the martyrs. How could they endure the things that they had to endure? Because their love to Christ was stronger than their love of their own lives. Do we love the Lord or no? Are we his or are we not? I say these trials come upon us to strengthen and not to destroy our faith. We may feel in the midst of trial that our faith is failing us, that it's falling. We may even feel that we have no faith. How can we be a child of God if we have no faith? And yet, the Lord has prayed for us as he prayed for Peter, that our faith fail not. So we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him with all our lives. And we are willing to suffer all things for Christ and for the gospel's sake. Until the time that his word came, that the word of the Lord tried him. There was a time then when Joseph was lifted up out of prison. And how did it come to pass? What did Joseph do to deliver himself? And of course the answer is that Joseph could do nothing. He was incarcerated in that prison and there in the depths of sorrow perhaps, in the depths of trial at least. But it was the Lord. It was the Lord that proposed the time when the trials began. And it was the Lord that proposed the time when the trial will come to an end. There will be an end of all our trials. It may not be in this life. We may have to endure, some people have to endure bodily affliction all their lives and are never perhaps free from a measure of pain. But death will make amends for all. But so often, we find that there is an end, and again, so often it's an unexpected end. As we didn't expect the trial to suddenly come upon us, neither did we expect the trial to suddenly end. But God conspires all things for his people's sake. And why is it? Because he loves them so. Yea, the Lord loves his people. He's loved them with an everlasting love, that love that can know no diminution nor end, that love that is ever the same. How much he loved his people to give himself for them. And shall not we love the Saviour for all that he is and all that he has done for the salvation of our souls? Oh, may we love him more and more. And may we know that whatever he brings upon us, all things, and let us not try and limit that in any way, but all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It is his will, it is his purpose that is being organized in our lives, and it will have a glorious conclusion. Look at Joseph, a second of Pharaoh, all authority being put into his hand. What a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ that is. All power is given unto me, says Christ, both in heaven and in earth. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the trials of this life. He knew humiliation. He knew fear. And yet, he trusted. And if we are to gain anything from this evening's word, we are to trust the Lord, whatever our providences are, whether natural providences or spiritual providences, to learn to trust him, that he works all things for our good, that he does everything right, too wise to be mistaken, too good to be unkind. And the Lord's purposes will be fulfilled in perfection for his people. And we will magnify his name. Oh, to be enabled to look back, as perhaps some of us already have done, and say, it was good for me. It was good for me that I was afflicted. And we can see God's goodness in the trial, and his purposes fulfilled in our lives, so that we may love him and trust him and obey him more and more throughout all our days. Oh, may the Lord bless his word to us until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 53 to the tune also number 933. This is the word of truth and love sent to the nations from above. Jehovah here resolves to show what his almighty grace can do. Lo, at its sound the dead revive, quickened by grace are made alive. Dry bones are raised and clothed afresh, and hearts of stone are turned to flesh. Hymn number 53, tune 933.
Yeah.
Pleased to cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship of thee this night. Be with us now and go before us and guide us all our journey through. Bring us at last to glory, there to be forever with the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost, rest upon and abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.